जयं शुपाल परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभयचरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलया प्रविष्ट ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज शील प्रभुपाद की అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నమాజాయ శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్ కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోపు గౌరాల శ్యామగుండ రాధామణగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామ్ కి మాయపూర్ ధామ్ కి మధురపురి ధామ్ కి జగన్నాథపురి ధామ్ కి ద్వారకాపురి ధామ్ కి గంగమాయికి హేమనమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సమవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర ప్రేమానంది ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది సింగిల్ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ to the assembly devotees, all glories to the assembly devotees, all glories, all glories to Sri Sri Guru and Sri Guru and all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Mashupadaya, Krishna Prasthaya Bodhali, Shri Bhakti Vedanta Swami Vidhamini, Namaste Saraswati Devam Gauravani Prajayani, Narvishri Shunyavari Pashyati Veshadharini. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Samsara sagare madnam vinamam karunanidhe karma graha gridangam manubharavarnavan శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవసాగరే మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ యథా భక్తి ఆదయో సవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వదేశాత్మాతస్వన్నో యద ప్రభో నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వభావ ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం సమ్మమామి హరిన్నరం జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్మయా ఇతరత అర్థేష్ విజ్ఞస్వరాట్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆదిగవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్సూరయ తేజో పారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషా సదా నిరస్తపుకం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి ధర్మ ప్రోజితగైదవోత్ర పరమో మత్సరాణం సదా వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కిం వా పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుధ్యతేత్ర కృతి శుశ్రూషుభీ తక్షణ నిగమకల్పతరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుభముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుతం పిబత భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహో రసిగా భువి భావుగాః సచిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాభిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః యం ప్రజందం హనువేదమవేదకృత్యం వైపాయనో విరహకాదరమాజ్జుభావ పుత్రే హిదనం మయదయత్తరవోగినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిం ఆనతోస్మి యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితిదీర్షదాం తమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కలవేణుకొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమపాజి విజృంభతాముదారే మధురీం నర్తనికాభికాభికాభి నమోం విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ భూతలే శ్రీమదే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిభిః నామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవే గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాణి పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణి శ్రీ చరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః వందే నంద వ్రజ స్త్రీణాం ఆదరేణుమభీష్ణశా వ్యాసం హరిగతో గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోవీ చరణారవింద పరమాహవే నమః పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం అవమోదయీ సరసిజం కరుణాసముద్రం రాధాసహాయమతి సుందరమందహాసం వాదాలయేష మనిషం ప్రతిభావయామి
ఓమనం పూజయనం వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగ వేరవేభ్య పరం బ్రహ్మ ప్రాసదాం పురదో మమ మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుమ్ లంఘయవేగిరిం యత్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః శ్రీమద్రాధ్యాయ నమః సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. గాంధుగ్ధదోహం అసదీంజ భార్యాం దేహం పరాధీనం అసల్ ప్రజాం చ విత్తం తుదుర్తీకృతం అంగం వాజం హీనం మయా రక్షతి దుఃఖ దుఃఖీ. వీ లుక్ ఇన్ టు చాప్టర్ 11 వర్స్ 18 వర్స్ 19. గాంధుగ్ధదోహం అసదీంజ భార్యాం దేహం పరాధీనం అసత్ ప్రజాం చ మిత్రం తుదర్తీకృతం అంగవాజం హీనం మయా రక్షతి దుఃఖ దుఃఖి. వి సో హౌ కృష్ణ టాక్స్ అబౌట్ ఎ పర్సన్ హూ హాస్ ఫాలన్ ఇన్ టు ది మోస్ట్ అన్ఫార్చునేట్ సిచ్యువేషన్స్ ఇన్ లైఫ్. సో ఫార్ ఇన్ దిస్ చాప్టర్ ఇఫ్ యూ అబ్జర్వ్ కేర్ఫుల్లీ యూ విల్ సీ దాట్ కృష్ణ హాస్ స్పోకన్ వాట్ ఈస్ నోన్ యాజ్ ది తత్వం. తత్వం మీన్స్ ఫిలాసాఫికల్ అండర్స్టాండింగ్ ఆఫ్ ద ట్రూత్. In other words, only if one understands the truth from a philosophical position, or Krishna has given what is known as the presentation of the truth in its pure form. That's what we have spoken till now, Krishna has spoken till now. That is up to this verse, you will see that. And from now on, what is Krishna has done is that he expected Uddhava to understand this, what he has spoken. In other words, Krishna expects us, everybody, to remember each of these verses, what he has spoken to Uddhava, and logicize it within oneself and understand the reasoning behind what Krishna has spoken. If one understands that, then it will stay fully settled, or it will establish the truth properly oneself in that position. When one is not establishing the truth properly, he starts wavering one way or the other. The mind starts going in different directions. So what's important thing here is, Krishna is saying here, that all these verses, when we started from the beginning, Bandho mukta idivyakhya gunadayamana vastuda gunasya maya mulatval name mokshona bandhanam, from then onwards, right up to this verse, Krishna is talking about the truth in its pure form. In other words, once you understand these verses up to this, Krishna calls it as the tattvam. Tattvam means the instructions what he has, tattva chinda. That to understand that what is soul, what is the role, position of the soul in spiritual life. Understanding the soul properly and the soul's function. All these things Krishna has explained so far. If you closely scrutinize these verses, if you study these verses and if you reflect over it again and again, you will know that Krishna's position as the soul of everyone, he is telling us that this is our reality in this world, what we are. Each and every verse is carrying, conveying a lot of information, a lot of instructions to us, so that a person who has taken the spiritual life through tattva-chinta or through analysis of the truth, one can get himself fixed up in the spiritual position. That's what Krishna has done so far. Now, after this you will see, from now on, Krishna is giving certain alternatives. Basically, this is knowledge, jnana-margam, or the process of knowledge that Krishna has spoken so far. And that jnana, once it is established, Krishna also knows that it is difficult for the normal persons who are absorbed in the material life to accept this wholeheartedly and to take it seriously. So therefore, knowing very well, Krishna is saying here that in order to free ourselves from the illusion of this body, and the bodily identification means identification with the body, senses, mind, intelligence, false ego, everything, which is also causes in conjunction with the mood of passion or rajogunam, when one gets absorbed in karma, that karma, and that becomes a crazy thing. That karma becomes very crazy. And in that situation, what will happen to the mind? Krishna has explained all those things here. So, as much as one's karma is increasing, his mind will start wavering. More activities. If you look into Patanjali's Yoga Sutra, Patanjali will say there, Yoga Chittavritti Nirodhaha. Yoga means controlling the mind. The Chittavritti. Chittavritti means continuous flow of thoughts coming through the mind. If one is able to control that, that is yoga. Chittavritti. The whole Patanjali's Yoga Sutra is that one sutra expanded. Chittavritti Nirodham. So Chittavritti Nirodham is only possible, Krishna is saying here, that somehow or the other, the mind should come under control. There is no alternative to that. Whatever means, whatever has to be done, it has to be done. That is Krishna's point. So by doing that, Krishna says the mind has to come under control. And he also talked about before that, Yasyam name pavanamanga karmam, that is verse 20. Yasyam name pavanamanga karmam stitil bhava prana nirodhamasya leelavatarepsida janmavasyal vandhyam girantam vibhriyam nadhiraha. Then Krishna says that Yasyam name pavanamanga karmam, that one in whom everything in this creation, maintenance, destruction, everything is happening. And one who talks about Krishna, who is the cause of all causes, and one who does not relate with Krishna, his speech, whatever he is speaking, that is considered to be, will not generate bhakti inside. In other words, Krishna is saying here that everything, the mind, body, senses, everything should be absorbed in Krishna's service. Only in that case, otherwise, what will happen is that he will fall away from the spiritual position. He will, one who is intelligent, Vibhriyanna Dhira, one who is intelligent, he should not speak about something which is not related to Krishna. Then he said in the next verse, Evam Jijnyasaya Bohya, Nanatum Brahmam Atmani, Uparameda Virajam, Mano Mayarpya Sarvage. There, Krishna says that Evam Jijnyasaya Bohya, Nanatum Brahmam Atmani. This Nanatum means our relationship with this world in various ways. That unable to see Krishna's position in this creation, not recognizing that Krishna is in everything, that it is easy to say this, but come to that realization requires constant effort. That therefore Krishna says that nanatva brahma malmani, due to nanatvam, this variegatedness of the material nature, brahmam has come. Brahma means that this understanding, something is good, something is bad, and variations like that. And to start picking and choosing, this is friend, this is enemy. And in that way, attachment and aversion develops to various sense objects and various other living beings, living entities. All this is coming from nanatum. That's what Krishna is saying. Nanatum and the brahman from that. So when that happens, nanatum must go, Krishna says. So nanatum exists in us, in relationship with other living entities, in relationship with various sense objects, we start selecting, this is good, this is bad. Actually, everything has no, in relationship with the soul, they have no value. They have no importance. The soul is more important. But because our identification with the soul is missing, identification with the external world is so strong, that nanatvam develops within. And he says, Uparameda virajam manumayarpya sarvage. Then, when one is freed from Rajogunam, he will get some detachment from this world. That is the symptom of Sattogunam and Rajogunam. When one is in Rajogunam, he is very strongly attached to the world. attached to the external world. He is very fond of the properties or the material assets in this world, family, the society, all these things, which is nothing but a manifestation of the Rajogunam. When one moves from Rajogunam to Sattogunam, this strong grip on all these things will loosen up. It will go. And you will start seeing the truth a little better, that they are all temporary. And that conviction will come inside when one moves to Sattogunam. Sattogunam brings that knowledge inside to see things on a temporary level. At the moment, because our mind is so much absorbed in the world outside, and the strong Rajogunam in us is having a strong grip on the external world. So we get ourselves freed from that when we have that Sattogunam in us. That's what Krishna is saying here, that Vuparameda Virajam Mano Mayarpya Sarvage, that when the mind goes away from the world, it moves on to Krishna. That will develop that strong attachment, and Sattogunam, only through Sattogunam that will develop. After saying that, Krishna is saying here, if this cannot be done, if this cannot be done, because Tattvachinta or the analysis of the truth requires strong renunciation from this world, detachment from the world, and Vairagyam, and Jnanam and Vairagyam. Jnanam means also it requires that detachment from this world and conviction inside that material world is temporary and it is only going to give me one day pain. It will not happen to someone very easily. We should not misunderstand this. That this understanding that the material world is a painful situation, that realization won't come very easily. It will only come after going through a lot of distress in life. This is the history says like that. And if you look at the Srimad Bhagavatam also, you will see exactly the same thing. Each and every personality, devotee in Bhagavatam, if you take, you will see that it is the distress that has brought them to Krishna at the end. Beginning with Parikshit. When he came to know that the death is waiting at the doorstep, he decided to inquire after Krishna seriously. When Kunti Devi suffered in life heavily with all the children wandering in the forest, not a place to live even, thrown away from the kingdom, the royal family members, they had to wander in the forest completely in distress, that made Kunti Devi to search after Krishna. Bhishma Pitamaha, after realizing that man's power in this world is limited and ultimately Krishna is the controller, that realization came to Bhishma. Similarly, if you look into each and every personality in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find there it is the distress that has brought them to Krishna. In the case of all great devotees, this is the truth. There is no doubt about this. Anyone, you can take it. It is that realization has come to them. People will say, oh, I was looking for the absolute truth. And I started inquiring and found out. That finding out won't last very long. It will go. It hardly lasts for a few hours or few seconds. And it will go after the inquiry will finish. But that inquiry which has come through this realization that there is nothing but distress in this world, that is the only thing that will eventually establish oneself at Krishna's lotus feet. Nothing else. Up to that point, the mind will go on searching after searching. But this is the point what Krishna is making here. That this realization comes. Dukhanya loke jandushu alam uditam vivekam koham acharya varyaham. That after knowing that there is nothing but dukham in this world, paradukha dukhi, Krishna says there, isn't it? So from dukham, from distress, dukhanya loke jandushu, that everyone is suffering in this world, one way or the other. Sometimes we think, oh, everybody else is happy, it's only me suffering, isn't it? But only if you go and stay with them for a few days, you know what they are going through. Dukhanya loke jandushu alam udidam vivegam. From there comes vivegam. Vivegam means that ability to discriminate, that there is nothing much to enjoy in this world, there is nothing much to look forward to here. When that realization comes, koham acharya varyaham, it is then that the inquiry begins. spiritual inquiry begins at that point. Labdhva tvadrubadatvam gunacharitagata ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That at that point, labdhva tvadrubadatvam, we comes to know the tatvam, that tatvam what Krishna has spoken so far. This tatvam will become attractive to that person. Up to that point, that is why in majority of the cases, people, when you say or read all these things from Ekadasha Skandam, people find it is from another world, nothing to do with me. Why? Because they have not come to that point to understand that the seriousness of the situation. So, at that point, he starts inquiring about Krishna, and hears about Krishna, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's glories, and try to know more about Krishna. That is what katha means, isn't it? Hearing about Krishna means knowing more about Krishna. What is Krishna? That inquiry will begin very seriously in the heart. Labdhva tvadrupadatvam. That tatvam will start working inside. Once it is gone in, it will start working. Guna charitakata ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha. That bhakti, that is bhakti. When that inquiry begins, properly searching after Krishna, and ulbhaval bhakti bhumaha, that bhakti will start developing inside. Then, maya menam taritvam. At that point, he crosses over maya. He gets himself released from the grip of maya. So, if you look into Ekadasha Skandam, not only in Ekadasha Skandam, Srimad Bhagavatam throughout, you will see every personality who had come to Krishna has come with distress. Distress in the mind. Every one of them. And it is from the distress that they have become Krishna conscious. The proper Krishna consciousness has come from that. So it is not easy. Just by reading these verses, it may not happen. Unless one also experience that in life and becomes wiser in that way. So Krishna says here, because the tatvam is difficult to accept for many people, when Krishna speaks the truth, we have questions. Question after question we want to pose to Krishna. Asking, tell me, clarify this, clarify that. There's nothing to clarify. Krishna is talking the truth to us. So, the answer to this is, Krishna says, yadyani shodharaidam mano brahmani nishchalam mai sarvani karmani niravekshya samachara. If this cannot be done, Krishna says, alternative is that if this process of knowledge, what Krishna has explained so far up to this, if this cannot be carried out, Krishna saying, yadyani shodharaidam mano brahmani nishchalam mai sarvani karmani niravekshya samachara. That one should execute one's life according to his situation. Generally, from the Vedic point of view, Veda Vihita Karma, it is mentioned. Vedai Sarvani Karmani. Vedai Sarvani Karmani. Every karma what we execute in this world should be under the Vedic injunctions. If they are executed in that way, it will purify us. But how should it be executed? Abhala bharadaya, without expectation of any results from that. So, you can see, Krishna talks about karma yogam in Bhagavad Gita. Here, exactly the same thing. Karma yogam is spoken, the same thing. Abhala bharadaya, vannidhani, that without expectation of as a karma yogam, it should be executed. Krishna says, karmani nirabhaksha samacharam. Then, Krishna says here, that nirabhaksham. Nirabhaksham means without expecting anything from that. Only then it will purify a person. Otherwise it won't purify a person. Any action, karmam executed in this world, it is true that Vedic traditions have gone away for now. And everyone has to accept some karmam in this world that you cannot wipe out completely. Because we discussed this before, that we execute karmam in this world due to our vasanas inside. Due to our vasanas inside. Even if we want to go away from karmam, it is not possible. Vasana will pull us, compel us to execute karmam in this world. So we have come with vasanas here. That vasanas were already there. And this shariram, this body has been given to us to fulfill those vasanas. So vasanas will force us to act in one way or the other. So Krishna says there is no point in running away from that. Vasana will be there, will force you to act. But while doing that, Krishna is saying here, nirapeksha samachara, that if you can do that without the ownership, I am the doer and I am the enjoyer, without expectation of any results from that, that will at least purify that person. In his karmam, he will get some purification. This purification is the first step in spiritual life. Spiritual life begins with this purification. That karma, that is why Krishna spoke karma yoga in the beginning of Bhagavad Gita itself. Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita karma yoga in the beginning, for a few chapters. For this reason only, that karma must be pure. If the karma is not pure, nothing is going to change. Nothing is going to change. So Krishna says here, nirapeksha samacharam, after executing that, that this with expectation of results, if we execute karma, that karma will bind us again. That means more karma vasanas will be created. More karma vasanas will be created. Which means we have to accept another material body again. This is the punishment for that. The cycle of karma we have spoken earlier, isn't it? Karma vasana forces to act in a particular way. When we act in a particular way, it creates a desire for results. Desire for results. That results will be either favorable or not favorable according to your mind. It will appeal to you, either it is in a favorable, the result is good or bad. From that, another vasana will be generated according to that. And that vasana will create another karma again. So this way, this giant wheel goes on, karma chakram. Evam pravartitam chakram nanuvarta yadihaya, Krishna says in the third chapter, Bhagavad Gita. This chakram is going on continuously, one after the other. So, the only way to escape from that chakram or karma chakram is by karma yoga. So, that is what Krishna is saying here, that if the jnana margam is not possible, at least start executing this karma margam, where one can free oneself from the bondage of karma. And then, once he does that, what will happen is that if he executes karma in that way, he gets certain purification inside. Once he is purified, then Krishna says, Shraddha lurme katha shrunvan subhadra loga bhavani gayan manusmaran karman janmaja abhinayan muhum. That what will happen is, when Krishna purifies the person due to his karma yoga, and inside is purified, bhakti will develop in the heart. There will be some development of bhakti inside. At that point, his attachment to Krishna will increase. It is when that attachment increases that he gets interested in hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, Katha Shravanam. Hearing about Krishna will come at that point. Otherwise, the natural desire to hear about Krishna won't be there. The desire increases as much as purification happens inside. So Krishna says here, Gayan Anusmaran Karma Janmaja Abhinayan Muhum. And he will, what will happen is, he will hear about Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's glories, and eventually engage in activities which are related to purification of the consciousness. So he gets purified in that way, Krishna says here, and this Janmaja Abhinayan Muhum, this is an important thing. That the Krishna's pastimes are meant to purify one's consciousness. He gets more purified by that. And it is from this that the different arts have come out from this principle. In the ancient times, when there were no cinemas, movies and all that, the arts developed centered around Krishna consciousness, because the normal tendency, especially for the householders, is to engage in talking about others, gossiping, isn't it? Gossiping is a part of the family life in everywhere. Everybody is not a sage. That's why they entered into family life, isn't it? For gossiping. So this gossip goes on everywhere. So what the sages who knew about this very much, they knew that this is a problem, because if you allow this gossip to go on unlimitedly, what will happen? The Krishna consciousness won't never develop in householder life. It will become very difficult. So therefore, the sages thought about this and they decided that if they have to gossip, let them gossip about Krishna's family life instead of gossiping about others' family life. So in that intention, that all these things about Krishna's marriage to 16,100 wives, 108 wives, and Krishna's activities in childhood, boyhood, all these things were spoken to give an opportunity to anyone to talk about Krishna somehow, even if that doesn't matter. So in this way, this developed in the form of an art, music, different kinds of arts, drama, and many other things have come out. That is how the original arts have developed. Ramayanam, Mahabharatam, and other pastimes from Puranas have developed in this way. It developed in the form of music, art, and drama, and various things like that. This is how the original arts developed. But when it got degraded, when it developed into, we left Krishna there. We started taking the mundane life of mundane personalities and we start bringing their life into our mind. With that we started suffering. And that is how the things like cinema and other television serials and all these things were centered around these kind of things. So what happens was, the sages knew very well, if you hear about Krishna and if you think about Krishna's problems while getting married, what he had to go through, it will here give us good. It will make us good because we'll think about Krishna. But if you hear about somebody's marriage problems and somebody, the marriage is working or not, or he's having problems and all that kind of things, what they create in the cinema and the serials, if you start taking all that into inside you, if you start carrying that, then very soon we will get affected by that. That's a known thing. Just like if you hear about Krishna, it will affect you in the same way. Similarly, if instead of hearing about Krishna, if you take all these things from the serials and the cinemas and all that and take it inside, we will start worrying about that instead of worrying about Krishna. So what will happen is, it says here, that when that becomes, and these people who produce these cinemas and serials, they are very clever also. They will bring it up to a certain point and leave you at that with the anxiety to come back to the sea tomorrow again, the same thing. So that you will chew it inside whole night and day before the next day that serial comes back again. Isn't it? That's how clever they know this. They probably have taken it from Bhagavatam, this understanding also. Where else has this come from? This has come like this, that they have understood how to pollute with their so-called hero and heroine singing and dancing and their love marriage and breaking up and children and all the sorts of problems like mundane life, material life, what is in offer. If you keep taking that into our own consciousness, we will get affected by that. So there is no hope. And the expansion of that is this, all this Hollywood, Bollywood, Chollywood, Collywood, all these things. It's nothing but expansion of all what Krishna is saying here. Isn't it? We think, oh, this is great, fantastic. They have produced this movie, we got Oscar, we got this, we got the whole rubbish. It's all creating all this misery for us, waiting for us to suffer in this world, to increase this, absorb this mind in all these kind of things. With the result of that will be, Krishna says that there is no possibility of getting this mind under control. Mind under control. So, Krishna says here, at least give up the material topics to discuss and let there be some connection, that there will be some connection with Krishna in some way, so that we go up in spiritually. We go up spiritually. that became deteriorated day by day, and eventually, and all these heroes and heroines in the film industry have become our heroes. They have replaced Krishna and they took the position of heroes in our mind. And now everyone is after them. after these heroes and heroines, as though they are going to solve our problems. Because this mind is such a thing, nobody can trust this mind. Lord Shiva could not trust his own mind. If it is like that, what else can be done? So if you are not careful, Krishna says here, if you are not careful, this will happen to anyone. Whether it doesn't matter who it is. He may look all great and grand and everything advanced and spiritually and all that, but any moment he can fall from his spiritual position. That is what it is spoken here. Then in the next verse, Krishna is saying, Madarte dharma kamarthan. After saying this, he says here, that Shraddhalurme katha shruman subhadra loga bhavani. Gayan anusmanan karma janmacha abhinayan muhu. There's something important here. When we are engaged in spiritual activities, we may think that, oh, I have done my duty for the day. I've chanted my 16 rounds, or I've done the deity worship in the morning. Now I am free. I've finished that part of life. I can live my life in the normal way like everybody else is doing. So the mind will go into other things. Mind will turn into other things. What we must remember here is, if you allow the mind to engage in mundane things, mundane topics, that will do more damage than all the chanting and the deity worship you have done in life. Strictly speaking, Shastra says to us, that doing something wrong is worse than doing what you expect from doing something good. If you feel that, okay, I've done a lot of good things, now I can do a little bit of bad things. It is better that if you don't do any good things, but if you don't do bad things, it is still better. Rather, to withdraw oneself from doing something wrong, which will disturb the mind, or which will create bad vasanas inside, it is better to avoid, even if you can't do anything good, at least if you can withdraw your mind from doing something bad, Krishna says it is better. It is better. Because in that way, the bad vasanas won't enter inside. Only you have to worry about those which are inside already there. So, Madarte dharma kamarthan acharan madhavashraya nabade nischalam bhakti mayuddhava sanatana. Krishna says that this is the only way, he says to Uddhava, that bhakti will develop inside a person. How? Madarte dharma kamarthan acharan madhavashraya. After executing the dharmartha kamam in the proper way. And he will realize is that he will experience the proper bhakti inside. So, while talking about that, Krishna says in the next verse that this bhakti, because Krishna has already first he gave us the choice. Execute the jnana margam if you can understand the tattvam properly, and there is a process prescribed for that. If one has the proper detachment from this world, and the sharp intelligence and the strength of mind to follow that route, he should follow that. Krishna says that. He can do that. If it is not possible, he gave us the next option. Like in the Bhagavad Gita, he told Arjuna also the same thing. If he cannot do that, execute karma yoga in such a way, free yourself from the ill effects of karma. Purify oneself, that will develop the chitta shuddhi or purity of heart, and that will in a position make him to hear about Krishna, and he will get purified in that way and develop bhakti inside. And then Krishna is saying here, that bhakti which can be developed in this way, says to Uddhava, it is much easier to develop that bhakti in the association of sadhu. The association of a sadhu. That is what the next verse is talking about. Sal sangalabdhaya bhaktyam maimam ya upasita. Savai me darshidam sabhi anjasa vindade param. Salsangalabdhaya bhaktya. Bhakti will, the easiest thing Krishna says, in order that bhakti to develop in a heart, Krishna says, the easiest thing to do is satsangam. Even higher than chanting, higher than studying Srimad Bhagavatam. Because a person who is Krishna conscious, his association is the most powerful thing in this world. Krishna vouches for that. How? You may ask that question. Example. If you walk on a sand, seaside, on a sand, on a very hot sunny day, if you walk on the sand, the heat from the sun won't affect you so much. You can bear that for some time. You can tolerate that for some time. But if you are barefooted and walk on the sand, the heat from the sand, you can't tolerate it. It gets so hot, you will run away from there, want to escape from there. Run into the water or run away to the car or somewhere. You want to escape from there because you can't tolerate it anymore. Now the sand got heat from the sun. The heat from the sun has been borne by the sand for a long time. But the sand is more hot than the sun itself for us. Isn't it? So similarly, the devotees of Krishna, they are more powerful than Krishna himself in that way. But you have to know the devotee. It's not that everyone is if you take it that everybody is a devotee and start going, sometimes you may end up the other way also. So you have to be careful there. But the principle is this, that a devotee can give you Krishna consciousness, can affect you more than Krishna himself. It is that powerful Krishna, the association is. That is why Krishna is saying here, Satsanga Labhaya Bhaktiya. What comes through satsangam? Can you come a little bit forward, please? What comes through satsangam? What comes through satsangam? You cannot get that directly from Krishna. Krishna's association even won't create that. Not personal Krishna association, means association with the deities. Won't create that strength as you get from a devotee. So therefore Krishna gives importance to satsangam. Satsangam's importance, Krishna gives the topmost importance to satsangam. Actually, what does satsangam mean? Satsangam means, satta means the soul. When you are discussing about the soul, you are talking about Krishna. And as Uddhava said to Krishna, Satyasyade Sudrasham Almanam Almanonyam. Then Satyasyade Sudrasham Almanam Almanonyam. Bhaktaramesha Vibhudeshwabi Nanu Chakshay. That one who is spiritually realized, one who has spiritual understanding, when he talks about the soul, it gets in. It has its effect. It will have its effect. That is the power of satsangam. We will see in the next chapter, this is the only topic Krishna has discussed, satsangam, nothing else. Krishna wants to discuss about satsangam and he says to Uddhava, Uddhava, I don't consider anything else more important than satsangam. Krishna gives so much importance to association with the devotees. So here also you can see, satsangalabdhaya bhaktiya maimamya upasida savaime darshidam sadbi anjasa vindade param. Because the bhakti that comes through satsangam, is very powerful, Krishna says. And very easily he will make progress in the spiritual life. Because what happens? You can experience yourself. Through association, the attachment for material world goes away. Attachment for material world goes away. Attraction for sense enjoyment goes away. Attachment for material objects goes away. And quickly one loosens up one's connection with this world. That is the first step that happens in the association. And through association, it works. There is a proof for that, how association has made devotees very firmly fixed in Krishna consciousness. So, therefore, any meeting in a temple should have this objective in the front. This must be the objective. Because the temple is meant for that purpose, for association of devotees to discuss about Krishna. All other meetings are not considered to be important. As from the Bhagavatam point of view, they are not important. There is no value for that. There are administrative meetings, management meetings, so many meetings will be going on. But if I start thinking all that meeting is making me Krishna conscious, then I'll be on the wrong side. The correct understanding is that satsanga labdhaya bhaktiya, only through satsangam, association on a Krishna conscious level, so what to speak about the importance of speaking about Krishna all the time. It comes from that. Because Krishna knows, all the great spiritual masters and all the great acharyas knows, there is nothing more powerful than satsangam. There is nothing more powerful than satsangam. Satsangam does it. What satsangam does, nothing else can do. That is so powerful. That durlabam trayameva idal daivanugraha hedugam. Acharya Swamiji says three things are most important. What is that? Manishyatvam mumukshatvam mahapurusha samshayah. That manishyatvam got a human body. That is one's first fortunate thing, that one has got a human body. And in that human body, he has got this desire for spiritual advancement, mumukshatvam, for liberation, that has come to him. So, manishyatvam, mumukshatvam. Mumukshatvam means that intense desire to escape from this material existence, once for all, to come out of the cycle of birth and death. All this requires a lot of analysis within. Before that, it's not going to happen. That's why manishyatvam mumukshatvam. Then the third thing, mahapurusha samshrayaha. Mahapurusha samshraya, great personalities or great devotees, their association, it says. Their association. So without any sadhana, without any studying shastram, simply by association, Krishna gives a list of people who became the great personalities in this spiritual life, who went back to the spiritual world. Krishna gives a list in the next chapter. So here itself, Krishna has given an indication what is coming in the next chapter. That's satsangam. Krishna is never satisfied. When he starts talking about bhakti, Krishna gets excited. And when talking about bhakti, not only Krishna gets excited, particularly about satsangam, when he starts talking, he gets super excited about it. Krishna's happiness in talking about satsangam is unlimited. In the next chapter, you will see that, in the 12th chapter. So, here itself, in the 11th chapter, Krishna is pointing out in that direction already. Satsanga labdhaya bhaktya maimam ya upasidaha savai me darshidam sadbi anjasa vindade param. Then, for this bhakti to develop inside, the greatest, the best thing is satsangam, Krishna says here. And with that devotion, very easily he will come back to me. Krishna says, anjasa vindade param. Very easily he can come back to me. There are many, many stories in this, related to so many great devotees. If you read about their history, you will see that they were not all very great scholars, or they were not all very great, they have not executed such big sadhana, austerities or penances or anything like that. They never had that. But only through this process, satsangam, they became very advanced in spiritually. So when Uddhava heard this, immediately Uddhava wanted to know more about that. Naturally, isn't it? When Krishna tells you the importance of satsangam, Uddhava's mind immediately went in that direction. He wanted to hear, and he is asking, Uddhava vacham, sadustha uttama shloka madaki drugida prabho bhaktistha yubid jeda kidushi sadbhiradradam. Then Krishna wanted to clarify who is this devotee Krishna is talking about. Because it's good to know what Krishna is thinking about a devotee, isn't it? Otherwise in Kali Yugam there will be so many devotees. Number of devotees will be much more in Kali Yugam than any other. But the standard will be with the opposite way. So knowing very well, Krishna says here, the Uddhava says here, that Uddhava says here, please tell me the symptoms of a devotee, or are the symptoms of devotion in a person. Then the world gives a different picture about devotees. Uddhava knew that as well, that in the world we consider someone as a devotee, somebody as a devotee, based on our mind, isn't it? we analyze people from our mind, how we see the world. We'll start judging people on that basis. And because that will cause misunderstanding, Uddhava said to Krishna directly, I want to hear from you what your opinion is about your devotee and your opinion about who is a sadhu or who is a devotee and what is devotion. Uddhava wanted to clarify that straight away, because otherwise in this world so many people will say that they are devotees. But Uddhava knew that this can always cause problems. We will doubt whether it is true or not, that what kind of devotee is it. All these questions will come up, isn't it? Is it worthwhile associating with that kind of devotees? All these issues will come up, because that's natural. We have our mind, and mind will ask questions. So, in order that to get a little bit more clarity, Uddhava asked Krishna straight away, please tell me that who is a devotee and what are the symptoms of that devotion and the devotee. So, he wanted to hear from Krishna's face the proper answer. So that's why he asked that question. Edanme purushadhyaksha logadhyaksha jagal prabho pranadaya anurektaya prabannaya jagatyadham. Then he said, recognized Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, jagal prabhu, and I am completely surrendered unto you, Uddhava says, and I have completely taken your shelter. Please instruct me. As a proper disciple, Uddhava is asking this question to Krishna. Remember, over 115 years, Krishna was friend for Uddhava. And now, Krishna has become the spiritual master for Uddhava. What does that mean? It means that unless, suppose there are two friends, one person to surrender to another is impossible. Because that is how they have related each other for a very long period of time. It's the same problem Uddhava had, same problem Arjuna had in their relationship with Krishna. They were both friends with Krishna for a very long period of time. But suddenly at some point in life, they became disciple. They became disciple. And they are addressing Krishna, asking him to instruct them in spiritual life. This normally don't happen very easily. Because unless the false ego inside has completely gone, one cannot surrender to Krishna like that. One cannot surrender to one's own friend. Will any friend will surrender to another friend? They will always treat each other on an equal level, isn't it? That is normally the relationship, on an equal level. That equal level, from there to go and to come to the position of a disciple and a spiritual master, is very, very difficult. For that, that false ego has to go completely from inside. And this is what's that indicating. That Uddhava is no more thinking about Krishna as his friend. Although Krishna has addressed Uddhava as his friend, Uddhava is not seeing him anymore as his friend. He is seeing Krishna as the Supreme Truth, and he is surrendering to him. And that surrender is the most difficult thing in this world. We surrender now for all the wrong places we go and surrender. To surrender to the right place and in the right way is very, very difficult. People misunderstand things very often about this surrender. What a surrender means? Surrender means to surrender the false ego once for all to a higher authority. And that is surrender. Even while paying obeisances, what does it mean actually? When we say we come to the temple, we pay our obeisances to the deities, pay our obeisances to Srila Prabhupada, what does that mean actually? What it means is that I am surrendering my false ego to you. That false ego is, that is when the false ego goes, the body drops. That is that, that's of obeisances. Isn't it? It's a false ego that keeps the body like this. When the false ego goes, the body drops. Finished. Body is finished then. That is that paying obeisances means. Paying obeisances is not a physical activity. That once there was a sage, and there was one person who used to come to the ashram very often. Every time he comes, he will pay a full dandavad and gets up and again prays 2-3 times dandavad. One day the sage asked him, what are you doing actually? Are you taking exercise or what? He says to him, because this kind of dandavada is no use. It's waste of time. That dandavada you pay and then won't put the knife at the back. What's the use? So that's useless. So Krishna is saying here, Uddhava's point is this, that unless that false ego goes from inside, this dandavada has no meaning. So surrendering while paying your obeisances to Krishna or to Srila Prabhupada, what you are actually surrendering is your false ego to him. That I want to give up this false ego to you, to this authority, that is the spiritual master or the Supreme Lord. Spiritual master is a representative of Krishna. So when one surrenders one's false ego, that is what this obeisances means. So here, you will see here, Anjasa Vindade Param, that when Krishna is saying about bhakti, that is the point when bhakti develops in a position. So, Tum Brahma Paramam Vyoma, verse 28, Purusha Prakrite Paraha Avatirno Si Bhagavan Svechopata Pradagvabhu. That is, in the next verse, Uddhava says to Krishna, Tum Brahma Paramam Vyoma. Up to this time, Uddhava was not saying to Krishna like this. But now Krishna is saying, Uddhava is saying to Krishna, Lokadhyaksha, Purushadhyaksha, Lokadhyaksha, Jagal Prabho. He is Purushadhyaksha, Lokadhyaksha, Jagal Prabhu. Then, Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyoma, Purusha Prakrite Para, Avatirno Si Bhagavan, Svechopata Pradagvabhu. That, Tvam Brahma Paramam Vyoma, you are the Supreme Brahmam. Uddhava says to Krishna, because you are also the Purusha, Prakrite Param, that who is beyond Prakriti, beyond material nature, the Supreme Truth, that's you. Svechopata Pradagvabhu. Svechopata Pradagvabhu means one who can accept anybody according to his desire. Svechopata Pradagvabhu. That according to his desire, he can accept a particular form, whichever form he wants. Any different incarnations, different forms, all that, Krishna can accept that, and you have come here. Avatirno si Bhagavan, that is how you have come here. And so Uddhava is seeing a different Krishna altogether now. Not the Krishna with whom Uddhava was Prime Minister for 112 years. That position all forgotten now. That's all completely taken away. And now Uddhava's surrender is complete. Uddhava's surrender is complete to Krishna. And it is in this surrendered condition that Krishna is talking about it further. Shri Bhagavan Vacha. You will see there that in this particular form you had come to give us your mercy. And when he asked this question, Uddhava wanted to know in detail about this. And Krishna spoke about that in detail in the next chapter. And Krishna also said that for spiritual realization, Uddhava, there is nothing more powerful than association with a super devotee, a first class devotee. He says here that there is no other alternative, Krishna says. That's how he puts it. Krishna says there is no other alternative except to associate with another great devotee. In Jnanamargam, this problem is not so much. In Jnanam, one can do it on one's own if you have got the intelligence and the renunciation from this world. Jnanam and Vairagyam is there. That is what makes a Jnani powerful. He will get that position in due course. He will come to that understanding. But Bhakti Margam requires this. This is a must for Bhakti. For Bhakti to develop, Salsangam and association is important. So, Krishna spoke about one thing here, that they will hear about me, two things. They will hear about me and through devotion they will achieve me. And all these things, Krishna wanted to speak about it in depth, so he kept it for the next chapter. Actually, Ekadasha Skandam is very, very deep subject. As I mentioned before, Ekadasham is not something one can casually read it like this. Because to get people interested in Ekadasha Skandam is very difficult. Majority of the people, because of their mind setup or their chitavritti inside, it becomes difficult for them to get interest in Ekadasham. Therefore, in many instances, Ekadashaskandam is not discussed very much. Ekadashaskandam is not discussed very much. But as much as you get absorbed in Ekadasham, it's a great happiness for spiritually minded people. Those who are spiritually absorbed, for them, Ekadasham is a feast. It's a feast for them, those who are absorbed in spiritual life. And that's why generally, even the and the big pandal programs, and when you have thousands of people present to hear Srimad Bhagavatam, you don't see them discussing Ekadashaskandam there. They will talk about everything else, and after the 10th canto, probably they'll stop at Rukmini's marriage or things like that, which attracts the mind of ordinary people. Of ordinary people gets attracted to that. They are happy to perform Krishna's marriage with Rukmini and have a lot of sweets distributed, and they'll go home happily that they heard Srimad Bhagavatam. But that is in one level. But once you come to Ekadashaskandam, it requires more absorption of the one's own mind, senses, everything. So it requires that right association also. Therefore, many of the great acharyas, generally they don't discuss Ekadashaskandam in public, in a big meetings. It's never discussed. Then, because first thing is, not many people will come to hear. If you open up Ekadasham, people will fall asleep. So what's the point in discussing it? So they don't discuss it. And therefore they won't endeavor for that. They will not try for that. This is the normal situation of Ekadashaskandam. But otherwise, Ekadashaskandam is for spiritually involved, for those who are spiritually looking for something in life, who wants to realize the truth, the absolute truth, to understand, because Krishna himself gives a guarantee that if properly heard, properly reflected and properly pursued, Nididhyasanam, if one does that, this is guaranteed liberation. Liberation is guaranteed. But most of the people won't go in that direction. So, Krishna now, because of that, Krishna now decided to talk to Uddhava, who is a devotee. So, that's what we hear from now on. Shri Bhagavan Uvacha Kripalu Agardadroha Tidikshusarvadehinam Satyasaro Anavadhyatma Sama Sarvobhagaragam Kamairai Kamai Ahadadirdhando Mrudu Shuchi Akinchanaha Agniho Agniho Mithabukshanda Stiroma Charanei Munihim Apramato Gaviralma Dridiman Vidashal Gunaha Amani Manada Kalpo Maitra Karuniya Kavim Ajnayaivam Gunan Doshan Mayadishtana Biswagan Dharman Sandinjaya Sarvan Mam Bhaje Dasasattamam Jnatva Jnatvada Yovaimam Yavanyascha Asmi Yadrisha Bhajandi Ananya Bhavena Temi Bhaktadamamadam. Then so these are the symptoms of a devotee. Sadhu, Krishna refers to as sadhu. These devotees, Krishna says here, who with these qualities, you can see here, Krishna has only talked about the qualities of a person. What that? It is from this that these famous 26 qualities of devotees are created, which you know in the Bhagavatam you will find, and in also in another places they will discuss about these 26 qualities of devotee. It is this that's been taken out. Kripalu agradadroha tidikshu sarvadehinam. Each word, if you look at it, they are easy to follow. Kripalu. Kripalu means one who is merciful to everyone else. Agradadroha, one who has no intention to disturb somebody else's mind. That is agradadroha. Droham is actually that one can disturb others in many ways, physically or mentally also. You can torture others, isn't it? So if you don't do that, it's agrada droham. The droham comes in different ways. So, kripalu agrada droha tidikshu sarvadehinam. Tidikshu means one who is tolerating all kinds of situations in this world. That tidikshu is a quality Krishna has spoken about many times in the Bhagavatam before, and in Bhagavad Gita also you will find tidikshu vakkaruniga suhrada sarvadehinam. Ajada Shatrava Shando Sadhava Sadhubhushanam. You will see in the 6th canto, talked about Tidiksha. Tridikshavakkaruniya Suhrda Sarvadehinam. Srinara Maharshi, I think, talks about that. So, Tridiksha is that quality. What is that quality of Tridiksha? Tridiksha is such that Sahanam Sarvadukhanam Apradigara Purvagam Chinda Vilavarahidam Sa Tridiksha Itigadhyade. Tridiksha means Sahanam Sarvadukhanam. Whatever distress comes in life, to tolerate that. Whichever form it comes, doesn't matter. Sahanam sarvadukhanam, able to tolerate any distress in this world. How? Apradikara purvagam. That, not with the intention of taking a revenge on somebody. When someone is acting towards you in an unpleasant way, or disturbs your mind by his activities, able to accept that it is my prarabdham that is coming through that person in this way, in this form. So, sahanam sarvadukhanam apradigara purvagam, no revengeful mood, not to take revenge on that person. That is tidiksha. Sahanam sarvadukhanam, to tolerate all kinds of distress without thinking about that person as your enemy. And sahanam sarvadukhanam, and in that way able to live with that, that is tidiksha. Apradigara purvagam, without any pradigaram. Pradigaram means to take revenge on somebody, revengeful nature. Without allowing the mind to develop that revengeful mood inside. Apradigara purvagam chinda vilaparehidam, and not to reflect on the distresses and feeling lamentation over it. This is another worse thing, because it will move the mind. You are trying to get the mind under control. So if your mind gets disturbed over all these things, Krishna says that is not tidiksha. Tidiksha is that thing, chinda vilaparehidam. That vilavarahidam, there is no complaint to anyone about what happens in this world. Because in this world, to expect that everything will happen according to your desire, it may not happen. There will be sometimes, because this Krishna will discuss this in the Bhagavad Gita also, that what we call as happiness and distress is all the mind that is creating that. It has nothing more than that. That has nothing to do with the soul. So from that point of view, Krishna rejects all these things. That material happiness and material distress. So, chinda vilabharahidam sa tidiksha idigadhyade. Tidiksha is known for that. And if you look back into the history of all the great devotees, you will see this, that this tidiksha has carried them further in their spiritual life. It is, of course, done through knowledge. That knowledge is firmly established inside, so therefore, they don't get disturbed over anything in this world because of the fully established in the truth. The famous story of Eknath. Eknath was a great devotee, very well known in Maharashtra. And Eknath's life, if you read through that, you will see there, Eknath was put into a lot of difficult situations. Naturally, when one becomes a devotee, he gets being ridiculed by others as well. The normal thing what happens in a society. So, in order to upset Eknath, Eknath used to go and bathe in the Godavari river. They used to call it Gangasnanam. And when he went to bathe in the river, and when he was coming back, one person who was very envious of Eknath spat on him. And Eknath did not say one word. He went back to the river and bathed again. And he came back. While coming back, this person again spat at him. Like this, 27 times he spat on Eknath. Not once Eknath spoke one word. Every time he did this, he went back to the river, bathed and came back. So eventually, this person who did this 27 times to Eknath, who spat at him, he felt inside Krishna has changed him to think in the right direction. And it is then that he fell down at Eknath's feet and asked this question to Eknath. He asked Eknath that, why did you not say one word when I spat at you? Why did you not say one word to me when I spat at you? Every single time you went back to the river and bathed, what's that makes you feel that you should not speak to me about my action, what I have done to you? You never protested about it. Eknath's reply is very, very beautiful. Eknath says to him, my dear brother, you spat at me on my body. I can wash it off in the river. I can bathe and wash it off. But suppose if I have reacted to what you have done, I can't even wash it because it will stay inside. How careful they were about the vasanas inside developing. This is devotee. A devotee is thinking that by his action, how cautious and sensible, that by such an action, if it is going to create a chittavritti inside, it makes his mind to move, mind to get affected by it. That will stay inside and that will become stronger. That chittavritti will eventually develop into a vasana. That means I have to come back in another body again to fulfill that vasana. Somehow or the other, it becomes very deep. Many times the same thing happens. That line that is drawn inside will become a very strong mark inside. That is when the chittavritti turns into a vasana. Initially, it's only one line. That one line gets thickened and thickened when it gets repeated. Knowing this science, Ekanath told that person that I was more careful of this thing happening inside rather than my body. That is how intelligent he was. He was saying, body I can wash it in Godavari and it will get cleared up. It's only not a big issue. But if I get this line inside, or if I start thinking against you, anything, for 1 second, if a thought develops against you in my mind, and if I start getting that thicker line, it will develop into a vasana in me. I have to be careful about that. This is a devotee. This is devotee. That who considers these things more important than any other thing in this world. Who considers these things more important than anything. That is Tidiksha. That is Tidiksha. So, Krishna says here, Kripalu agrada droha Tidikshu sarvadehinam satyasaro anavadhyalma samasarvobhagaragaham. Then, Krishna says here, sarvadehinam Satyasaro anavadhyalmam. Then, Satyasaram. What does Satyasaram mean? Satyasaram means that he only accepts the truth as important. In other words, he has understood from the Shastram the essence. What is the essence? Essence is, I am spirit soul. He is completely fixed on that. I am spirit soul. He doesn't want to identify with the body anytime. Because he has the knowledge, he knows the truth, Satyasaram. He has taken the essence of the truth from the Shastram. And therefore he knows there that that he should not get disturbed over the material identification with the body and all other material activities. Should not disturb him, Satyasaram. Anavadhyalma, that there is no, he cannot find faults in himself, any faults in himself. And also sama sarvobhagaraka, that equal, because of his identification with the soul, he has already come to an equal platform with everyone else sarvobhagaraka, and his desire is only to do good for others. Doesn't mean that to help them on a material level, but knowing very well what is good for others, he does that. What is that? Spiritual life is what makes good for everyone. Nothing else. So these are qualities Krishna is expecting from someone Krishna says as a sadhu. Kripalu agritadroha tidichu sarvadehinam satyasaro anavadhyalma sama sarvobhagaraka. You can see all these qualities in a devotee is important, because only then, with this in the background, one can understand what Krishna consciousness means. That satyasaro anavadhyalma sama sarvobhagaraka. A devotee will see that all living entities are suffering in this world one way or the other. He has no choice, he does not select, he is good and he is bad. Every living being in this world is experiencing the same modes of nature and going through the same material miseries of birth, death, old age and disease, and tolerating the material difficulties. So rather than trying to deliver them from their material miseries by elevating them to the platform of Krishna consciousness, he can actually help that person. That is Krishna's point. So that's why he used the word sama. Sama means equally. He sees everyone as a part and parcel of Krishna. Krishna is present in that body in different forms. Sarvopakaraka. Therefore, he is willing to do, to help anyone from that position. Then, Kamai ahadadirdhando mridu shuchi akinjanaha aniho mitabok shanda sthiroma charanominim. Then, Kamai ahadadirdhando. That kamam, various kinds of desires inside. If a person has a lot of desires, what will happen? All the time he'll be very disturbed, isn't it? Very, very disturbed. Because desires create this situation. He will find it very difficult to control himself. So in order to fulfill those desires, he has to act in this world. And when he starts acting in this world, what will happen? He will develop ragam and dvesham, attachment and aversion to other living entities. Kamam desires begins with desires. Desires develops into actions, and actions creates bondage. That you will be affected by the attachment and aversion in this world. So that's what Krishna is saying here, that his senses and the mind will not be peaceful if he is engaged in too many activities. That's not very conducive for spiritual life. That one who is very active in karmic world, what will happen is, because of this continuous activities of the karma will generate automatically inside a lot of thoughts, will develop from that, and that will in turn develop into attachment and aversion. So it is not possible to be peaceful within oneself when this situation happens. Then he says here, ahatadi, that his intelligence is very steady. So one who has managed to control oneself in that way, Krishna considers that himself as the person whose mind also will be very soft. He'll be very soft towards in his dealings with others. He will not force himself upon anyone, nor will he expect any worship from others, nor will he be interested. Being himself proclaimed as important person. So Krishna says here that he will not consider anything as his. That is another thing. And he will not engage in activities which will create these feelings of me and mine. These are all things, very, very subtle things, but very important to watch for of. Those who want to advance in spiritual life, if these things are not taken seriously, then the advancement won't happen. You may be thinking that 20 years, 30 years I'm chanting, I'm doing so many things in this world, but if these things, what Krishna has spoken about, it may happen, maybe many lifetimes of chanting, it may happen, these changes. But Krishna says those who want quick, fast track progress in spiritual life, these things has to happen now, right now, in this lifetime. So that's why he's saying here, these qualities, if one, Krishna says, if one takes care of, that kamai ahadadirdhando mridu shuchi akinchana. Only if you have the desire for possessing things, only then the problem starts, isn't it? If you want to possess something, then there's a problem, there'll be trouble. Because somebody else also wants to have it. But this akinchanatvam, akinchana is the quality, what Krishna is saying here, that does not have any desire to possess anything. Freedom from that desire, that makes him easier to relate with. Shuchi akinchana. Akinchana is that quality. Isn't it? Nishkinjanasya bhagaval bhajano mukhasya parambal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu talks about that. Sandarshanam vishainam rayoshidamcha ha handa handa vishabhakshado pyasadhum. That Mahaprabhu says at one point that sandarshanam vishainam atha yoshidamcha. People who are very much on a materialistic nature, one who has got a lot of materialistic nature, don't think that materialism is only outside, it's everywhere. Sandarshanam vishayinam atha yoshitam cha. That vishayi. Vishayi means one who wants sense gratification. In a gross level or in a subtle level. Both. Some people may not be very on a gross level gratifying the senses, but in a subtle level they like to gratify their senses. That is, this wants to have a lot of followers and wants to have a lot of fame, popularity. These things are coming from that subtle desires to fulfill. That is also Vishayi. Vishayi is nature. That is not Akinchana. So, Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atha Yoshitam Cha. That Vishayi, one who has got that kind of association with such people, Ha Handa Handa Vishaphakshanado Pyasadhum. As the sannyasi, he says that even for him, association with women, because as a sannyasi he said that Sandarshanam Vishayinam Atha Yoshidam Cha, that association also is like Vishabhakshanado Pyasadhu. That Vishabhakshanam, it's like poisonous food, he says, for a sannyasi to be in that situation. Nishkinjanasya Bhagaval Bhajano Unmukhasya. All the acharyas have got only to tell us one word, one answer to us. That this strong grip in this world, I want to be this, I want to be that, I have to have this, I have to have that. This has to go from inside at any cost. Acharya Swamiji says same thing, Mahaprabhu says same thing, everybody says the same thing. Kaupina vanda khalu bhagya vanda. When one is able to give up everything, simply walk in the street wearing a kaupin, he is the most fortunate person, it says. He is the most fortunate person. Why? His connection with the world is over. As long as we have our grip on this world, I want to have this, I want to have that, I want to have everything, and I want to have spiritual life also, then it is problem. It is problem. That is where our spiritual life is not moving very much. Kaupina vanda khalu bhagya vanda. That one who has come to that situation, he is the most fortunate situation. Vedanta vakyeshu sadaryameshu. Always absorbed in the thoughts of Krishna, in the Vedic conclusions. Vedanta vakyeshu sadaryameshu. Kaupina vanda khalu bhagya vanda. That having realized the truth, having realized it, has given up all these worldly attachments, connection with this world, and simply wearing a kaupin, wandering in this world as a mad person. Externally appears mad, but completely absorbed in Krishna. So that is the spiritual reality. That's the spiritual reality. We, unfortunately, because in our consciousness, we have built up some false understanding of spiritual life, we start thinking that, oh, somebody is in a position in spiritual organization, he must be very advanced spiritually. It is opposite true. The opposite is always true. You can see that. That is why in many, many cases in the past, greatly advanced souls, they threw away their position in the institutions, walked out from there, because they understood that this is all useless at the end. Vedanta vakyeshu sadaryameshu kaupina vanda khalu bhagya vanda. That bhagyam, that spiritual reality, when it hits them, they leave up everything. When it hits them, they give up everything. Till then, grab everything in this world. And so this will go on. That's why Krishna is saying here, Kripalu agrada droha titikshu sarvadehinam. Then, titikshu sarvadehinam satyasaro anavadhyalma sama sarvovagaragam. Then, kamai ahadadirdhando mrudushuchi rakinjanaha aniho mithabo shanda stiro macharanomuni. Krishna says there, such a devotee, that he will be very fixed up in his mind and he will take complete shelter of me. He is more absorbed in the soul, not in the matter. Not in the matter. And he will not deviate for a second from the soul. For him, the soul is the only reality. The soul is the only reality. Nothing else is real. So because he is established in the truth, in that situation, he will not be carried away by all the glamour of this material world. It will not touch him. It will not have an impact on him. That's why saying, apramato gabhira alma dadiman jidashat gunam aniho, previous verse 30, kame akadadirdhando mrudu shuchir akinjanam. Then, aniho mithabuk shandam. He has stopped all his material activities. Mithabuk eats what is necessary, and shandaha is always very peaceful. Siroma charano minim. Because he has taken complete shelter of Krishna, complete shelter of Krishna, he is steady in his mind. He is steady in his mind, Macharano Muni, and he is thoughtful. He is very, very thoughtful. It is this thoughtfulness is what makes him a Muni. Muni means one who is does mananam. One who does mananam is a Muni. So one who thinks about the truth deeply and absorbs in that, he is a Muni. Otherwise, he's not a Muni. So he says, Siroma Charano Muni. Krishna calls him as a Muni. Then, Apramato Gabhira Alma, Dadiman Jadashal Guna, Amani Manada, Kalpo Maitra Karuniya Kavi. Apramato. Apramato means one who has no pramada. Pramada means that feeling that I am important. That always there is no disturbances inside, always steady in his mind. And similarly, Gabhira Alma, then he is very broad in his mind. He is very broad. He can tolerate a lot of things in this world. He is dhrudiman and he is courageous. Why is courageous? Because he knows the truth. That's why he is courageous. He knows the truth is something different than all this what we see in this world. Then dhrudiman chidashal gunaham, that he has crossed over six Shadurmi, they call it. Here he calls it a Shadguna. Shadurmi means there are three things. If one has succeeded in controlling that, he makes a lot of progress in spiritual life. What are they? Thirst and hunger. Thirst and hunger. So, thirst and hunger, one has to eat, one has to drink also. But not particular about what he has to eat or what he has to drink. Whatever by Krishna's arrangement one gets it, satisfied with that. Not particular about all these things. So, Krishna says here that this quality, shalgunam, hunger and thirst and shokam and moham, that means always hankering after something. Or always lamenting after something. This is another two things we do all the time, isn't it? Shokam and moham. Suppose something I have been working hard to get something, I didn't get it. I get the anxiety, I didn't get it. I'm hankering for something, that's why I'm engaged in such activity. So hankering after various things, therefore we are doing so much different kinds of work in this world. And shokam moham, then when we don't get it, then we start lamenting about that. So, hankering, lamentation is another two things. Like, hunger and thirst, hankering and lamentation. And the last two things is, Krishna says here, jara and maranam, old age and death. So, if these things are not disturbing a person, Krishna says, that is a symptom of spiritually strong person. Spiritually advanced person. Krishna gives importance. Dhritiman, Chidashal Gunaha. These things he has crossed over that they will not be able to disturb him, in other words. Old age and death will happen to everyone. Nobody can escape from that. But he will not be subjected to their influence in this life while he is dealing with others. That's most important. That nobody can stop death. Nobody can stop the old age. Nobody can stop hunger. Nobody can stop thirst. And it's also difficult to stop hankering and lamentation also, isn't it? It disturbs. We may try very hard, but sometime or the other, it affects us in some way or the other. So Krishna says here, one who has freed himself from all these six things are important. They are generally called as Shadurmi. They are like a wave in the sea. That's why it's called Urmi. Urmi means, it's like a wave. It comes suddenly and attacks us, and we immediately surrender to that, isn't it? Hunger is like that. When you feel suddenly you're very hungry, if there is no food, then you go crazy, isn't it? You go mad. So it will not be able to resist that temptation. And therefore, when that attack comes, if one can, by controlling one's own mind, if he is able to win over that situation, then he is considered to be successful in spiritually. Same thing with the thirst also, hunger and thirst. Similarly, lamentation and hankering. Want to get this, get this, get this. All the time want to become this, become that, become this, become that. This way. Keep on thinking about what to do, how to get this, how to get that. This is called hankering. And similarly, shokam, not able to get it, so when he missed it, when he didn't get it, lamentation about it. Oh, I tried very hard, I didn't make it, I didn't get this, I didn't get that. So this hankering and lamentation, shokam and moham, and finally, jara and maranam. Jara and maranam means, jara brings this problem, old age. That brings, makes you feel the nature of the body. Once it starts, this old age affects us, immediately fear develops inside. Isn't it? The fear develops in such a way that, oh, all the plus, all the close associates, they are going to leave you. One after the other start dropping out. Isn't it? When at the old age, that's what happens. Old people, have you seen? When they take the newspaper, the first thing they look at is the obituary page. Who have all gone today? They won't look at the headlines, first page, or in page 3, or page anything. They'll go into that page, who left. So newspapers are also good. They make a proper list and present it to you, who have all left. So that is old age. Old age is nothing but, this is what the old age old age pastime of reading the newspaper for this. Or you come to know from someone, I have to go for this funeral today, I have to go for that funeral today. Then your diary is filled with funerals, where all you have to go for different funerals. So this is old age. And inside, these thoughts also, all those who are closer to you are going to leave you now. Krishna mentioned this very nicely in the Bhagavad Gita. Tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yogasam idam. That's how Krishna puts it. It's a beautiful presentation of that. Tam vidya dukkha samyogam viyogam yogasam idam. What it means is that the knowledge that is, he has already developed that knowledge inside so firmly, that his own family members who are sitting around him, wife, children, they all, they will leave him any moment. And he is very clear in his mind about that, so he is not going to lament about it. Because he is, every moment, he is so cautious about not developing that close attachment to anyone, particularly the close family members. If he get attached to anyone, dukkha samyogam will be followed by distress. Because the truth you can't change, they have to leave, they have to go. You have to go or they have to go. Why? If we have to go leave early, we will say, oh, I have to leave you. If they are leaving early, we say, why are you leaving me? It's either way. But separation is very clear. It's not going to be, not going to happen. It will happen. So is it not better, is it not more intelligent to recognize this earlier and come to terms with it and develop that knowledge what Krishna is talking about in the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Krishna is saying here, tam vidya, this is knowledge. What is that knowledge? Dukkha samyogam viyogam yoga samyidam. Krishna calls this as yogam. Yoga means samyoga viyogam, if you are able to tolerate. Samyoga means bringing people together. Viyoga means separating them. Tam vidya dukkha samyoga viyogam yoga samyidam. Krishna calls, a person is a yogi who has developed this consciousness inside, whereby he does not get least affected if somebody leaves him and goes, very close people. Similarly, when someone comes in, or a close friend comes, you start merely hugging him and kissing him and telling him, oh, such a nice person, you are so good friend of mine. You see all that sometimes in this world, isn't it? People start hugging each other, seeing the happiness. Or what does it mean, all this? Tam vidya dukkasam yogam viyogam yogasam idam. It's called yogam. Krishna says, a person whose mind is steady in both situations, unaffected by the happiness who had come, by someone's coming, or by the unhappiness by someone leaving him, in either position, his mind does not move. In that is the position Krishna is talking about as a yoga position. That is called yoga position. So, in order to get there, Krishna talks about how to get to that position. That is in the Bhagavad Gita, you will see. Bhagavad Gita is all about this science, or how to develop that spiritual thinking, spiritual outlook in life. That's what Krishna is talking about. So here, Krishna is talking about the quality of a devotee. He says here that Atramatto Gabhira Alma Dridiman Jidashal Gunaham, that these six things, what is explained here, they will never be able to touch him. If you have escaped from these six things, you are already liberated. You are already liberated. That's what liberation means, all that. These Chadurmi, these six kinds of waves which comes and attacks us every minute. What is that? hunger and thirst, hankering and lamentation, old age and death. Now, we talked about the old age, what happens. Now let's see how we face the death. When the death comes, when the death comes, a devotee, a sadhu or devotee, Krishna says here, he knows what death means, isn't it? Because he has the knowledge in him. Because the knowledge in him, and he has executed his duties in this world to face the death properly at the time when death comes, he does not have to lament about it. There is no lamentation in him. He will not be worried about death because throughout his life he was preparing for the death. One who has not prepared for the death, he has to have faced the music. There is nothing we can do about it. At the point when the death comes, at that point what happens? All the sophisticated arrangements and all the best hospitals, ambulance and the doctors and medicines, nothing will help. They will all take in their own way. When we lie down in the hospital bed, sometimes weeks together, months together, don't know what will happen. What all can happen, nobody knows. Even in that condition, if it is a devotee who has understood Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam properly, he will not be disturbed over it. That is devotee. That Jidamansh, that Shadurmi, she has escaped from this Urmi, from these waves already. If he has escaped, then nothing can disturb him anymore. So Krishna does expect all these things in us before we face the death. Before we face the death. This is the minimum what Krishna is expecting from us. Even if we don't do wonderful things in this world, they are material. That may or may not happen. That according to one's prarabdham and according to Krishna's plan, many things may happen. But if these things have not developed inside, these six things what Krishna has spoken about here, that shalguna, that those gunas are more important, because that is what will make the person to face death properly. And he says here, amani manada kalpo maitra karuniya kavim. Then amani means he does not want any recognition from this world. People play with these things, isn't it? Suppose sometimes somebody wants, if you want to recognition from this world, then you have to please so many people in this world, isn't it? You have to please so many people in this world. Amani. But if you have don't want any recognition from here, then you don't have to please anyone. You can talk the things through straight. You don't have to worry about anyone. So this is from these two words, Amani and Manada. It has taken from Thousand Names of Vishnu Mahabharata. Amani Manado Manya Logaswami Trilogadrik. These are Krishna's definition on Krishna himself. In Thousand Names of Vishnu, one of the names of Vishnu is Amani. He does not care for any recognition from anyone. Have you seen how Krishna acted in this world? Arjuna says to Krishna, can you drive my chariot? Krishna says, yes, no problem. Then next thing he says, can you stop, drive the chariot and park it there for me? Between the Kauravas and the Pandavas army. Krishna says, no problem. Can you take this message to the Kauravas and talk to them to avoid this war? Krishna says, all right. Then eventually Krishna says, can you be my spiritual master? Krishna says, yes. So that is Amani. This is Amanitum. Amanitum means all these activities has no bearing on Krishna. Krishna is transcendental. Amani doesn't think, oh, because I'm Supreme Personality of Godhead and he's asking me to drive the chariot. He never said that to Arjuna, did he? For the gopis wanted Krishna to bring Nanda Maharaj's shoes on his head. Oh, ready, bring it, I'll bring it now. Put the shoes on Nanda Maharaj's shoes on head and brings it to the gopi. So, Amani. Never once Krishna has spoken anything in a way that you will feel that he is not Amani. Always Amani. Never wants he doesn't want any recognition from anyone because he knows what he is. This is what happens when one knows one's own swarupam, one's own identity as the soul. Then this ignorance will go away from that person. The ignorance, I want recognition in this world, is coming from where? because of identity with body, isn't it? Identification with the body makes a person to think, oh, I want to be respected by all these people, I should have so many disciples, and I should have this, I should have that, all kinds of things. This is all coming from that. But once you have realized the understanding that I am not this body, on a spiritual platform, who wants recognition from whom? That the soul is independent of all these things. Therefore he says here, amani manado manyo. Not only he is amani, he is manada. Manada means that he is willing to give respect to anyone. That's Krishna. He is willing to give respect to anyone. That in the Mahabharata war, if you look into Bhishma Stuti, Bhishma's glorification of Krishna while leaving the body, you will see there the kind of personality Krishna was, which has attracted Bhishma. Bhishma was completely affected by this Krishna's personality. He says, in three different instances I saw you acting, and Bhishma could not bear that. He says that that in the Mahabharata war, when you took the disc and came to kill me, when I saw that, Bhishma says that he was affected by that. In the Rasa dance, how he played with the gopis, and again in the Rajasuyam sacrifice, how Krishna conducted himself as a king there. All these different positions. In Rajasuyam, if you remember, we discussed Rajasuyam. What was Krishna's duty in Rajasuyam? Krishna's function. Krishna was given this responsibility by Yudhishthira Maharaj. Yudhishthira Maharaj told Krishna, your duty in Rajasuyam sacrifice is to wash all the great sages when they come. Wash their feet and with that water drink and sprinkle it on everyone else. That was the responsibility given to Krishna. Says, fine, I'll do that. This is no problem. So all this, Krishna was considering, I'm so fortunate that I got this service. That he was able to wash the feet of all the great personalities, great, great sages who came for Rajasuyam. Krishna says, I got that opportunity to wash their feet. And this is Supreme Personality of Godhead doing this. And finally, in the same Rajasuyam sacrifice, all the Pandavas and all those who assembled there, they decided that Krishna should be honored as the chief guest as well. That's also fine with Krishna. Everything is fine with Krishna. With Krishna, if you notice one thing, whatever you say, Krishna says, okay, no problem. Anything you ask him. Arjuna and Krishna, if you look at it in different situations, how Krishna answered everything, but only when it comes to the top of discussion about the soul, Krishna becomes serious. Up to that point, everything else you ask Krishna, he says, you can have it, no problem. Arjuna says to Krishna, I want to take sannyas. Krishna says, no problem, take sannyas. Then sannyasi says, I want to marry Subhadra. Yo, you can have Subhadra also. This is Krishna. You can become a sannyasi and you can marry Subhadra also. He says, no problem. This is Krishna. So Krishna has this nature that anything you ask from Krishna, he will give it to you. But the moment it comes to spiritual life and self-realization, the soul, there we have to accept what Krishna says. Up to that point, Krishna will listen to us. Whatever we ask him, he'll give. But when it comes to this topic, we have to accept what Krishna says, not otherwise. So, amani manada kalpo maitra karuniya kavim. Then, maitra, friendliness, friendly nature to everybody, karuniyam. And he is merciful to others. Because why should you be merciful? Because the others who are caught up in their bodily identity, they are unable to release from that. And through that, bodily identity means ignorance. And from that ignorance, so many illusions have developed in their head. And through that illusions, they are working in this world. So you have to give an allowance for that and leave that at that. If you find that illusion gets very powerful, then you may have to, you cannot help that situation. So, Krishna says, a devotee is free from these things. What is that? Apramatto gabhiralpa dhridiman jidashal gunaha amani manadakalpa maitrakkaraniya kavim. Then, ajnayaivam gunan doshan mayadishtana viswagan dharman sandinjaya sarvan mam vajedasa sattamam. Then, next thing Krishna says, ajnayaivam gunan doshan mayadishtana viswagan. Then, in the Vedic literature, you will find gunam and dosham, isn't it? Good and bad is discussed. What you should do and what you should not do. And and those are mentioned for executing dharmam, for executing dharmam. Now here again one question, that when we are talking about execution of dharmam, there will be a lot of doubts in the mind, what is right thing to do and what is the wrong thing. This is always a very difficult thing to judge. And even Vedavyasa Maharshi, after writing Mahabharatam, Mahabharatam was written for the sake of explaining dharma, isn't it? Dharma was the goal, what was discussed in Mahabharatam. But even after discussing in the Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi found it very difficult to say what is dharma, proper dharma, for every person to make that, how to make a decision in a particular situation, what is the right dharma to do. This doubt will always come. So, therefore he says there that dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapandhaha. That is a verse there. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. How do you make a judgment in a particular situation, what is right and what's wrong? Because this will always be there in this world. For example, if you take on a individual level, on a personal level, you will always have problems, isn't it? Sometimes you may think, am I doing the right thing? Or am I doing the wrong thing? Should I associate with this person or should I stay away from him? These questions will always come. Because sometimes, certain times, certain activities may not be, according to your understanding, is not dharma, it's adharma. So you may feel like staying away from that, isn't it? That situation will develop. It's very difficult because every one of us faces in everyday life this crisis, is it not? That you think that something is going on and somehow you got involved in that, and at some point in time you won't want to get involved in that because you feel that it's not right. Something you are feeling that way, that the consciousness, you feel that the activity is not right, so something is going wrong. Those who don't think, they will get on with everything, there will be no problems for that. But those who are thoughtful, they will always think before they engage in something, that is that going to affect others? That's first thing. Is that going to affect others? How will it affect others? And by my action, if it is going to affect somebody's consciousness or become a cause of anxiety for someone, should I not try to avoid that? All these thoughts will develop in a person's mind. So, therefore, in the Bhagavadam it says here, says that dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gata sapandhaham, that Shastram won't be able to tell you each and every situation how to deal with. It is not possible in Shastram to say this. Generally, certain general guidelines are given. In the Shastram, general guidelines are given. That this is the right thing and this is the wrong thing. But when you start applying that in your individual life, also it becomes a problem, isn't it? Also it becomes a problem. This is, we all know about dharma in this way. I don't think you will have any disagreement on this, isn't it? In our daily life, we face this situation all the time. If you look into a national level or on an international level, you will see the same crisis comes to the leaders also. Big leaders, isn't it? Big politicians or big people who are holding big power, like presidents and prime ministers and all that. They also have the same thing in their mind going through. Are they doing the right thing? Especially when they get involved in a war or in a big... when they have to go and attack another country. And for certain reasons. Just like what's going on now with the wars in other places and all that. I'm not getting involved in the political side of it. What I'm saying is that this dharma is a very difficult thing to make a judgment. Isn't it? Make clear judgment and say, this is the right thing to do. Okay, they will always say, because they have to say that, otherwise they cannot continue with it. So, even if, and it can go wrong also, even if they have made a decision, it can go wrong. There is no guarantee that it will it will work. So it is this dharma, crisis in the dharma is the biggest problem. So Krishna is saying there that this dharma is very difficult to make a judgment on these things, and therefore dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. Who can make that decision then? How do you know you make the right decision? It's a very important question in the Bhagavadam, isn't it? It's a very important question in the Bhagavadam. That dharmam, only you can know nihidam guhayam. Somebody is inside that guha. Guha means the cave inside. Who is that? Krishna present inside. And when you are self-realized, when you have realized the self, that means all your activities are controlled by that person from inside. And when he is controlling the activity from inside, then all your activities are dharma. When he is not controlling your activities, all what you are doing may be dharma, may be adharma. There is no guarantee. This is why self-realization is more important even before executing our duties in this world. Just see how important self-realization is. When one is self-realized, then he knows the truth. So the dictation comes from inside. Krishna is dictating that do this, do this, do this. Accordingly, when one acts like that, that is dharma. Otherwise, everything is adharma, the chance you take. Otherwise, all the dharma, whatever we execute in this world, it will result in some complications later. Even if you win a war, it will be at the cost of so many lives. So many lives, isn't it? This is the reason. And if we don't understand this one point, it's such an important point. The very reason why Krishna did not speak Bhagavad Gita to Yudhishthira Maharaj is for this reason. Yudhishthira Maharaj hung on to dharmam too much, whereas Arjuna did not. Arjuna said, dharmam is not important, what you say is acceptable to me. In other words, he has put his complete faith at Krishna's lotus feet and accepted the truth. When Krishna guided, everything went through properly. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, on the other hand, could not accept Krishna's authority completely. And this is the reason why Bhagavad Gita was not spoken to Yudhishthira Maharaj. Normally you would have thought, among the five brothers, he is the eldest. He should have heard Bhagavad Gita, not Arjuna. Why not Yudhishthira? Yudhishthira is much more pious person, he is the king, and he is respected by everyone. Everyone says he is the most dharmic person, personality. Dharmaraja personified is him. Still, he did not get Bhagavad Gita. Krishna gave Bhagavad Gita to Arjuna. Why? This is the reason for that. That dharmam is very difficult to decide what is right and wrong. Dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam. Then what is the option till you become self-realized? What can you do? How do you execute the dharmam? Mahajano yena gata sapandhaha. That Mahajana, great, great devotees and great souls follow their path. That's all you can do. Today, in the conditioned state, all what we can do is Mahajana yena gata sapandhaha. Mahajana means great jnanis, great yogis, great devotees follow their footsteps. Just following their footsteps, you won't go wrong, because they will only take you in the right direction, because they are realized and they are following in the right path. So you will also be in the right path. Not by tarka pradishta shadayo vibhinna. I was trying to remember the first two verses, first two lines. Tarka pradishta shadayo vibhinna naso krishir yasya madham na bhinnam dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam mahajano yena gadasa bandhaha. Tarka pradishta apradishta. Then you can argue with somebody, this is right and this is wrong. Apradishta. But somebody else will come and make a much more stronger argument and you will lose the argument. Isn't it? That is possible. In this world, you may have all your logic about what is right and wrong. Just like, take for example, a war that's going on. Some people are saying the war is necessary. Some people are saying the war is not necessary. Isn't it? Some people are saying the war is not necessary. Some people are saying the war is necessary. So, tarka pradishta. There is tarkam, argument between people. And both sides have strong arguments about this.
So tarkam won't lead to any firm conclusions. That's what it means. Shrutayo vibhinnaha. If you look into scripture and start deciding what should I have the war or not, you won't find an answer there. Shruti won't tell you that. Shruti will tell you so many things. Shruti can tell you many, many things. What can Shruti tell you? Shruti will tell you karmakandam. Shruti will tell you jnanakandam. Shruti will tell you vasanakandam. Shruti will tell you different dharmam. Shruti will tell you various process of worship. All kinds of things, Ayurvedam, Dhanuvedam, everything Shruti tells you. The Vedas will tell you. Now, if you take one thing and reject the other, then also you don't know whether you are doing the right thing or not. Because by studying Shruti also, you can't make a decision, correct decision on these things. It's not possible. It's not possible to make a correct decision by studying Shruti alone. That's not possible. So, tarka pradishta shrutayo vibhinnaha. Shruti will give you different answers to the same question. Then, naso hrisher yasya matham na bhinnam. Then if you look into the great sages, they also who are propagation of different philosophies who have come from them, Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Mimamsa, Vedantam, all these different philosophies have also come from different personalities. Each one of them have through logic and reasoning established their position very strongly in this world. Very strongly in this world, isn't it? Naso Rishir Yasya Matham Na Bhinnam. They are all different. In their opinion, they are different. One says truthfulness is important. Another one says charity is important. Another person is saying that service to others is important. So everybody will give you different versions according to their realizations. They will tell you. They are also, you are in confused state. What is the right thing to do? Isn't it? So this question, what is right and what is wrong, or what is dharmam and what is adharmam, the decision making is a very difficult thing. Even if you have studied everything, still it is a very difficult thing. It is then that tarka pradishta shrutayo vibhinnaha naso rishir yasya matham na bhinnam. Then dharma syadattvam nihidam guhayam. Ultimately, who knows tattvam? Krishna knows. So, who is situated inside the cave, inside that guha, inside, dharmasya tattvam nihidam guhayam, only he can dictate to you what is the right thing to do. So, therefore, we have to go back to him or realize the self. Mahajano yena gata sapandaha. Otherwise, till that happens, mahajano yena gata sapandaha. We have to keep following the grave souls till we get to that point. In other words, self-realization is the answer to all the problems while living in this world, even after leaving this world. While living in this world, if you want to act properly, then you have to realize the self. While after leaving this world, if you don't want to come back to this world again, then also you have to realize the self. So Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, particularly Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, is stressing on this point very strongly. That without this, all our life is a complete waste of time. Nothing we gain from this life. It's all a loss at the end. It's all a loss at the end. So, here, going back to this. Apramato gabhira alpa dhridiman jidashal gunaha amani manada kalpo maitra karuniya kavi ayayayavam gunan doshan mayadishtan abhiswagan dharman sandinjaya sarvan mam bhaje dasasattamam. So, even one whose mind is fixed in Krishna, he cannot go wrong. That is Krishna's point. That because he has not made any desires to acquire anything, his material activities or vyavaharam or dealings with this world will be very minimum. Isn't it? Will be very minimum. Therefore, the mind will not go out too much. Mind will not entangle itself in too many things. And because of his strength of devotional mood inside, or the devotional consciousness inside, that he will not unnecessarily involve in activities which are not conducive for realizing the soul, realizing the truth. So, such a person, Krishna says, he is a devotee. Nyatva jnatathayo veimam yamanyascha asmi yadrishaha bhajan dhyananya bhavena teme bhaktatamamadam. That nyatva ajnatvathayo veimam yavan yascha asmi yadrisham. Knowingly or unknowingly, he is, what's he like? That not knowingly or unknowingly, one who surrenders to me and start taking my shelter. Evam yamanyascha asmi yadrishaham vajandi ananya bhavena means not treating Krishna as separate from within him. Krishna is present in every one of us as the soul inside. So as long as we recognize this, not treating Krishna as a separate person, I have nothing to do with Krishna is staying in the temple, I am staying in Stammo. That's not like that. No. Krishna is staying with us all the time. This is more important, this realization. We have over years of conditioning, we develop like this. The Krishna is in the temple, I am at home. I have to go 5-6 miles to see Krishna. So this kind of illusion has come to our head. But devotee who is conscious of Krishna is always thinking Krishna is with me all the time. All the time he is with me. That's what he's saying here. Yatvadhayove imam yavan yascha asmi yadrishaham bhajanti ananya bhavena iteme bhaktatamamatam. That such a person who considers that I am with him all the time, he is a devotee, Krishna says. In fact, one who is closest to us all the time is Krishna. Nobody else, isn't it? We think, oh, my close family members, we say. One close family member. They'll go their way, you go your way. That's all finished one day. The truth is, the only one close family member is Krishna inside. And if we recognize that, and we act in that way, Krishna says, I'm always with you. I'm never separated from you. And this one concept, quite often, we don't take it very seriously. We always think, due to our conditioning, that Krishna is in the temple, I am in elsewhere, somewhere I am living, wherever I am living. Krishna is not with me. Krishna is, to see Krishna, I have to go to the temple. And this becomes stronger in us. But that has to go. That's what Krishna is saying. This devotee who considers, I am with him all the time, Krishna says, it is acceptable to me about such a person. That does not mean that you should not come to the temple. Don't get that misunderstanding. We haven't got anywhere so far. We are neither seeing in home, nor in ourselves, nor in the temple. This is our situation. So, the temple is just a start to get to that state. But Krishna is saying here, such a devotee is a sadhu. Association with him will do good. Because sometimes what happens, we are looking for excuses not to go to the temple, isn't it? So this could be a good excuse, saying, oh, I'm seeing Krishna everywhere. Whenever Krishna is always with me, why do you have to go to temple for that? If you start bringing such logic, then there is no answer to that. So that's why it is mentioned here, unless you go to temple, you won't be released from that infection from the material life. And even after coming to the temple, association with Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita is more important than anything else. Because only in satsangam, only in Bhagavad Gita you will hear this truth what Krishna has spoken. Elsewhere you won't hear all these things. So that's why it is said that Mam Bhajayadasa Sattanam Teme Bhakta Tamamada. My opinion, Krishna says, he is the type of devotee one should associate with. So, up to this point, Krishna has spoken about the qualities of a devotee. So, Kripalu Agradadroha, from then onwards, Teme Bhakta Tamamada, these 3-4 verses. If you reflect on these verses, it will tell you what is expected from a devotee. What is expected from a devotee. And when one reaches this state of consciousness, he can say, Krishna consciousness is working. Krishna consciousness is working. As long as one is affected by these words, what Krishna has spoken, and when one starts manifesting in a person, the symptoms of Krishna consciousness is showing its power. And that is the only way, Krishna says, and their association will help a person to go further in spiritual life. Otherwise not. From now on, till the end of this chapter, Krishna talks about the devotees' activities. How one can engage in devotional activities. That is the verse from now on. Krishna is going to say, what is devotional activities which can help you to come to this platform, which can help you to come to this platform. And eventually, Krishna will conclude this chapter by saying that the most important topic, Uddhava, there is nothing else which is higher than this, association with a sadhu. Association with a sadhu. It is given the highest importance than anything else. Not even chanting the holy name. That is most interesting. People may think, oh, I am chanting my rounds, I am chanting... No, even not even that is as powerful as association with a first-class devotee, as Krishna is saying here. We'll discuss all that next Sunday. Meanwhile, next we will start tomorrow morning at 4 o'clock. Bhagavad Gita classes at Barnet. Those who are able to come, please come. Bhagavad Gita is our life and soul. There is nothing in this world higher than Bhagavad Gita. This Bhagavad Gita's message, particularly the second chapter, what Krishna has spoken, has woken up people from their sleep and made them to think about their life in depth and completely move into the spiritual direction. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. Those who want the address of the place where we have the classes, there is some printouts here. If you want to take the address, you can have it.